Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, and any corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue to study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Father in heaven, we know that your anger is against the sinner. We know that thy wrath is going to be visited upon the sinful, and we all deserve to go to hell. Yet how is it possible that we could know thy love, and that whosoever cometh unto thee, that you will in no wise cast out? Father, through thy word we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. We trust in thee, that thou wilt be indeed, make us whole and keep us in this day of judgment. Father, we ask for thy blessings, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit will lead us into truth as we continue in thy word, our daily bread. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see. We're picking up today in Matthew 24, verse 22. So I'm just going to go back and read a little bit. Let me see where we'll start reading by. We'll pick up in 16 to read up until we get into 22 and in that paragraph there. Okay, verse 16. Let them which be in Judea, that is, either be in Christ or in the corporate church, and I kind of lean towards them to be in, well, I don't know, it could go either way, and both will make sense. Flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetops not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And we saw that the clothes identify with the covering ultimately. Identifies it. In other places, it uses different language there. Their things, I think, is another English word that is used for this particular Greek. And of course, let them who are in the field, that is bringing the gospel, not to return back. And ultimately is identifying with the flesh. And we're going to see that shortly in, I think it's in verse 20 coming up, concerning the flesh. But to take his clothes, and we know that the clothes identifying with a covering, and in this particular case, it's the covering of the corporate church, the corporate body, and God speaks of that being spotted with the flesh. As a matter of fact, let me see if we can look at that now. Yeah, let's look at that now. I was just looking at this idea of the flesh, which I think we're going to be looking at in a few minutes. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not finding it. I'll wait till we come to that word. Okay, which is going to identify with the covering. It's going to identify with the fleshly minded. It's going to identify with the corporate body, the corporate church. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And of course, that is those who are nursing those on the milk of the word. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall come great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And we know the winter time is a time of no planting, and there's no, fruits of the field coming out or anything. So it could be even a famine. We are in a time of great famine. We know that the Sabbath identifies ultimately with the Jubilee, And we are in the Jubilee of Jubilees, which is a Sabbath year, time when the land has its rest. And this great tribulation, of course, is the big focus here of Matthew 24. And we know that the great tribulation is identifying with false Christ, false prophets, false teachers that would lead astray even the very elect, if it were possible. That's rhetorical. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Okay, 22. And unless those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And I guess I didn't see that because I clicked that word a few minutes ago to look at that. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It is a very important verse. I know I puzzled with this verse for many, many years. I know a lot of people have puzzled with this verse, the days should be shortened. And we're going to look at that because there is a solution now that I have seen in the Bible that's pretty clear to me. And we're going to see, because God is speaking about the context here of different things happening, and something happening and immediately after the tribulation of those days, God is going to refer back to those days. And so there's another time period after the shortening of the days. But we're going to look at that puzzle in a minute. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show signs, great signs, and wonders, insomuch as if it were possible, they should deceive even the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now we're going to look in Mark in a few minutes, but first I want to look at some of these words. And Mark in 13, in this particular verse, God is referring to things happening in the same place here that we're reading about in Matthew 22. We get a little bit of a different language, I think, and we also get a little bit of a different perspective. And this is where the clue is, I think, is found concerning the shortening of those days. Okay, so signs and wonders. Let's take a look at that first. Okay, signs and wonders is identifying with the carnally minded, bringing in lying doctrines of men, tongues and visions, and ultimately false Christ and false preachers, false teachers. We read, there signs and wonders are carnally minded, lying tongues, visions, and calling fire down from heaven, which is falling backwards, which is actually a judgment. I've been in many churches where I see these pastors come down and they touch these people and they fall backwards. Well, I've only seen a couple. Well, I've only actually physically seen one, but I've seen numerous of them on TV. And what they don't realize is they're talking about what they're doing is bringing some healing and different things, but actually it's a judgment. To fall backwards is a judgment. We see that, or we'll see that, at the crucifixion right before they come to arrest Christ, that they all fall backwards. Before that they're able to arrest him. So falling backwards, which is a judgment, declaring judgment upon those who are not of them, bringing in false Christ and prophets, which is the nature of the Great Tribulation. Mark 13:22-25, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Again, that's rhetorical. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. It looks like that's said redundantly, so it's repeated twice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by a gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come the falling away first, the apostasia, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's see if we're going to go through this. Well, I guess we will. I think we've been through this before, but maybe not. The following are the false signs by false teachers, pastors, prophets that are spiritually discerned by those spiritually minded. So we can spiritually discern them because we see that they speak the things of the flesh. They're teaching and bringing in fleshly things, the doctrines of men, and they're not using the Bible to interpret itself, line upon line, precept upon precept, giving us that understanding, the spiritual understanding, which is the signature of the Holy Spirit. By that, we know we have truth. So they are spiritually discerned by those spiritually minded. All of these false signs are carnally minded, also known as fleshly minded doctrines of men. They conveniently claim God will rapture them so that they don't experience the following calamities, after which they will return with Christ to make war with Satan. And this is a popular teaching, at least it was when I was in the churches. So there's this great war. The Christ is going to remove them out of the world. That's going to be the rapture. There's going to be all this tribulation, this bloodletting, and all kinds of things going on. And when that's all over with, then Christ is going to come and destroy them, but he's going to then bring us back into the earth. None of that makes any sense. It's very carnally minded. Nor will it stand up to the scriptures any way you look. So the following list differs from one false teacher to another. A great earthquake. They're looking for literal earthquakes, major catastrophes. The sun will literally turn black. The moon will turn to look as blood. The stars will literally fall. Calamity of the earth's atmosphere. Sky receding like a scroll being rolled up. Every mountain and island moved out of its places. War and bloodshed. Peace is taken from the earth. Nation rise against nation, another one another. Famine, economic hardship, hail and fire mixed with blood. All these they think and teach as if they're literal things. A burning mountain thrown into the sea, a third of the sea turning to blood, killing a third of all marine life and destroying a third of the ships. A great star named Wormwood falling from heaven, turning a third of the rivers and the springs of the water to bitter. Many people die from drinking the contaminated water. Locusts come up from the abyss. Four angels that abound at the Euphrates, the great river Euphrates, is dried up and are loose to kill a third of humanity. Painful sores upon men, skin disease. Sea turns to blood, rivers and springs turn to blood, a scorching heat from the sun, hailstone weighing around 100 pounds each, Natural disasters, the spread of new diseases, rumors of wars, persecution, lawlessness, the rise of Great Britain and America, an explosion of knowledge, the rise of Germany, the decline of the USA and Northwestern Europe, Great Britain used to be the leading nations in the world, skepticism and unbelief, widespread selfishness, a Muslim attack on Europe. Okay, now all of these things is just kind of a collage of different things that I have heard them speaking about. Little pieces here, little pieces there, but this is kind of just a mixture of all these different things because they look at the Bible so literally, carnally minded, and not looking for the spiritual understanding that these things are parables, teaching and leading us to understand spiritual things. We read in Psalms chapter 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wickedness, or the wicked. For there are no bands in their deaths. And bands is really, this is identifying with fetters, bonds, bands. That identifies figuratively with pain and being bound, actually. So in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doeth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Truly I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. So God is talking about the false prophets, the false teachers, and all the people. And I think the picture of the prophet here speaking in Psalms ultimately, which I presume is David, is speaking from within as a prisoner ultimately within this false gospel, within this place which we see. And this is talking about the ends of the world. It's talking about the corporate church ultimately. That has gone apostate. I'm going to reread this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casteth them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And I think that might be a picture ultimately of now the revealing of God himself coming in great judgment. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. So again, I think that really does give us that picture of someone that has been in prison, because God speaks about a prison often in this New Testament, and of course in the Revelation, or at least sometime end time events in Matthew 24 maybe, or Luke or Mark. So nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me. by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. So clearly that's a picture of someone who has been saved. Whom have I in the heavens but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, after other gods, worshipping Satan in the place of God. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So again, this gives us a good idea, you know, of the deception that really is going on during this time. If it were possible, would deceive even the very elect. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be, make this a little bit bigger here. It's good. Yep, we got him. Okay. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Jehovah. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Jehovah. And I will gather the remnant of my flock and of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith Jehovah. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and of course that is Christ, the righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby ye shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that they shall no more say, Jehovah liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Jehovah liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them. And the north country is identifying with our time. It's in the future, you know. Looking into the south would be at the past. Looking into the north would be the future. So again, that would identify with our time. So the Jehovah liveth, which brought us up and which led the seed of thy house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome. Because of Jehovah, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulteries, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant place of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Jehovah. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Jehovah. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and Baal identifies with Satan, and caused my people Israel to error. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, spiritual adultery, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. they all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. And that's the language of the Great Tribulation. That's the language of Revelation. That's the language that identifies with the water, the poisonous water. I will feed them with wormwood. So God is speaking about time here. And make them drink the water of gall. And from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that prophesy on you. They make you vain. They speak of a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Jehovah. They say still unto you, they say still unto you that despise me. Jehovah hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsels of Jehovah, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of Jehovah is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Jehovah shall not return until he have executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. And of course this is all identifying with the meat of this season, the meat in due season, which is this season, which is judgment. Judgment, everywhere we look, we're seeing judgment. So let me reread this. The anger of Jehovah shall not return until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the later days, ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent those prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith Jehovah, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith Jehovah? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith Jehovah? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets and that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophets have had a dream. Let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Jehovah? Is not my word like as a fire, saith Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith Jehovah, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith Jehovah, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith Jehovah, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith Jehovah. And when his people or the prophets or a priest shall ask thee, saying, let me read this. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of Jehovah? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith Jehovah. And as for the prophets and the priests and the people that shall say, the burden of Jehovah, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor, and everyone to his brother. What hath Jehovah answered? And what hath as Jehovah spoken? And the burden of Jehovah shall be mentioned no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God of Jehovah of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath Jehovah answered thee? And what hath Jehovah spoken? But since ye say, the burden of Jehovah, therefore thus saith Jehovah, because ye say this word, the burden of Jehovah, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, the burden of Jehovah, therefore behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Okay, there are these signs and wonders. You know, again, the carnally minded, bringing in lying doctrines of men, and to bring in tongues and visions and dreams and different things, saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it. So let's pick back up at 24. For there shall be also false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in a desert, go not forth. Now, a desert is a place that's dry. There's no water there. It lacks water. Maybe a little bit of sprinkling water here and there from time to time, but it lacks water. It's a dry place. And water identifies with the gospel. To be in a desert place is going into a place that doesn't have the gospel, doesn't have the water, the word of God. Well, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. And the secret chambers is in the minds of men. You know, I've heard people, again, speaking of the Great Tribulation, speaking of end times, reading the Bible, saying these words, and it means this, and it means that, and it means the other thing, totally just pulling it out of their own head. And it's their own secret chambers. You know, the secret chambers identify sometimes, of course, where you speak with God. It's in the private place. It's in the inner man. And so these things are being brought out of the secret chambers, the false prophets, the false teachers. So behold, he is in a desert place. He is in a desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. This is identifying after the time period, telling us, come out of here, my people. You know, flee. Don't be partners with her evil deed, the false church. The harlot, which is the picture that you were given in Revelation. So he is in the secret chambers. Christ is in this church. Or he's in that. No, believe it not. For as lightning coming up out of the east and shineth even on to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, let's see where we're going to go with this, because we want to get back to the day shortened. So let's look at Mark 13. Which speaks of this same time period of what's going on, and given all this information in Matthew. So this is another perspective of the same information. Sometimes God will add something, change things a little bit, maybe not mention something, we'll mention something else. And when we put it all together, we get the full picture. So we read in Mark chapter 13, 18 through 27, and pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days, what days? The days that are in the winter, that you're in the church. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was never from the beginning of the creation, which God created, unto this time never shall be. He's talking about the Great Tribulation. These are the days that God is referring to, that your flight, you're going to depart out. Your flight be not in the winter. And except that the Lord hath shortened those days, what days is he shortening? The time period that we spend with inside the church. And except that the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. So we're going to look a little bit at the flesh in a minute. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he shortened the days. So why would we stay in a church that is dead, where the witnesses have been killed, the truth is no longer going out, we're being silenced from bringing the truth, no flesh is being saved, in other words, the fleshly minded becoming spiritually minded, not being saved. And then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, he's in that church, he's over here. Or, lo, he's there, believe it not. For false Christ, false prophets shall arise and show some great signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Now listen, there's another group of days. But in those days after that tribulation, okay? So again, God is breaking the Great Tribulation into two parts. And remember, everything about the Great Tribulation is a judgment upon the corporate body. It's upon the unsaved. It's upon those who have rejected God's word. Remember, Abraham had two sons. And at some point, God is ending it. That's it. I'm going to bring judgment upon this. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now the moon identifies, of course, and we've looked at this before, with the law of God. The moon shall not give her light. The Lord teaches us. And those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. The sun identifies with the light of the gospel. So the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall. Now, this word fall is the word pipto, to fall in judgment, and ultimately to fall in judgment through silence, through not bringing the true gospel no more. So the stars of heaven is identifying with the believers. They shall fall, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming. So another period of time, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels or his messengers and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. Now, this picture might have two meanings, or it may just have one. God speaks about coming as a thief in the night. And what is this, as a thief in the night, to rob? And so God comes as a thief in the night to take his people out. And I think that's what he's talking about. It's a time when he takes his people out of the corporate body. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partners or partakers with her evil. Okay? And so the Son of Man coming with clouds and with great glory could be the declaring of judgment upon the church as the body of Christ departs out. Because there was a lot of anger. And I remember the days when these things were taking place and people were departing out. And boy, there was a lot of anger in a lot of the churches. But anyway, any event, it could also identify with, the actual rapture, which is the very end of the world, and where God takes his people out because he sends the messengers and shall gather together his elect from the four winds for his universality, and from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. So again, it could be either or, and I think maybe as we'll continue, maybe we'll come to a better conclusion on which it might be, or it could be both. Or we'll be kind of stuck with the mystery until we can figure it out. Okay, before we continue, well, maybe we should look at this first, and then I want to go back a little bit and look a little bit at the flesh. I know that, did we look at the flesh? I know we talked about it. I don't think we did. Let me take a look. Fleshly minded. No, I don't think we did. So we'll look at the flesh. But let's look at Luke 21 first. Again, giving us some information of the same period that is being spoken of in Matthew here and in Mark 13. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. And in the stars. And again, the sun is identifying with the light of the gospel, with Christ. Again, remember in Revelation, talks about the woman clothed with the sun. Okay, so again, it brings us back to the gospel. The moon, remember the picture of the woman in Revelation, standing on the moon, standing on the law of God. And then there's the stars, which identify with the believers. And we know that the woman is identified with a crown of 12 or 24, I believe, 24, which is identifying with all the believers and identifying with the believers as being stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. Now the earth identifies with the corporate church, with perplexity. Now here again is a picture that may be talking about the end of the world, but I strongly believe it's probably talking about the Great Tribulation, because it talks about the earth, and upon the earth, distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing from for fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Because salvation is no longer available, it's fled to them. They don't have that rest in Christ no more. And so there is a fear in looking after those things which they know judgment day is coming, and it's going to come upon the earth. And they're unsure of their salvation. And again, they a lot of people will put their own work as salvation. Remember, the Bible tells us we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But they always have to do something. They have to at least receive it. They have to be a partaker somehow in their salvation, and they just won't let that go because they're carnally minded. They're unable to really rest that great in Christ, to let it be all His work. It has nothing to do with us, you know. But by His grace are we saved. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up thy heads, for thy redemption draweth nigh. So, again, it's very close to the end of the world. Now, this may seem like something that's just a very small period of time, but as we start reading through all these verses, we come to realize this is over a great period of time, quite a few years, a lot of years. So let's go back now and look a little bit at the flesh. Let's see, I think I opened that up. Yeah, the flesh. So fleshly-minded, those who read the Bible, carnally-minded. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent," because nobody will be able to live the law. It's an impossibility. Only Christ was able to do that. "God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And that is the big thing, the big question. Are we walking after the flesh, or are we walking after the Spirit? What's going on in the inner man? You know, just figure out whatever's going on in your mind is a reflection of what's happening in your heart, where your heart's desire is. And if our hearts condemn us not, then we know that we are a child of God. But if it does condemn us, we also know that we have Christ Jesus. We can turn. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness." The Spirit is life because of righteousness. "But if the Spirit of man, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the flesh, crucify the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Papa, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him by crucifying the flesh, that we may be also glorified together. And that's our burden, that's our cross that we must bear and we must carry, is the constant crucifying of the flesh. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groaneth within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charges of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that hath risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed, we are silenced all the time, all day long. We are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me see how many more we have to read, because I do want to go back and look at the shortening of the days. Okay, I'm going to look at the rest of these, and then we'll look at the shortening of the days, because I think we've got enough information to get this picture together so we can see and understand better the shortening of the days. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his own fleshly mind. 2 Peter 2:13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the way and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of the unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, no gospel. Clouds they are, carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great welling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and consciousness is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who minds earthly things. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of their blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And you, this is Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Air is the place of conversation. Prince of power of the air is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Indeed, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are of the flesh cannot please God. Now, I think we read this a little earlier, but in any event, we read it twice. Okay, so there's so much language here concerning what's going on these days and what's going on in the hearts of men. Things look pretty good, you know. But what are they doing when they're no longer on Sunday church? What's going on in their minds? And, you know, they may be living very moral lives, but fooling themselves because they continue to exercise sins within their own minds. The inner man, they don't crucify. Okay, going back here now, in those days after the tribulation, looking at the shortening of the days, I think Mark 13 might be the best way one to look at. Where we read, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And the flight is to be left to leave the church, come out of my people. That's the flight. It also could identify with our flight in life, ultimately. God speaks about at the end of the world and or at the end of our life, then we just fly away. Okay, so pray that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not been since the beginning of creation, which God created into this time. Neither shall be, and except that the Lord shorten those days. Now the Lord shortened the days, and for no flesh shall be saved. And that's the reason why he's shortening the days. Shortening the days in the great tribulation, being in the church, coming out of great tribulation. See, we have come out of great tribulation. In the world, we will have tribulation. And that's a constant. It's a thing that always is. But this is great tribulation. This is a tribulation where the gospel is being trodden upon, and the truth is no longer going forward. It's being squashed. It's being trodden upon. And we live in, and we're imprisoned in that church until we realize, you know, come out of her, my people, get out of her, don't be part of the evil, leave. You know, and it's a hard thing to think about and do. Unless you're reading the Word, it is extremely hard to do, especially if you've grown up in the church. I mean, I can't remember a time when I've been in the church since I was a baby, being baptized and being in the church all through my childhood and into part of my adulthood. You know, to leave the church was a very difficult. It wasn't too difficult for me to leave the church I was in, though. But when I went to other churches, it was difficult to leave some of those churches in the sense. But God opens your eyes and you start to see, well, I got to leave this one, go to another one. I got to leave that one, go to another one. At least for me, until come out, stop, leave. Go out into the world and bring the gospel. But the thing is, you see, the days that are being shortened is for the believer, for those who have come out. So, and that's a period of about, let me think, it's about 7 years. We're going to get a little bit into the timing later, and I think I'm correct in thinking that it's 7 years. The entire length of the Great Tribulation ultimately is 23 years, okay, bringing the entire length. But there is a seven-year period, which is in the Great Tribulation, between when the Great Tribulation begins. And the Great Tribulation begins after the beginning of sorrows, which the beginning of sorrows is the leading in of the falling away and the leading in to the Great Tribulation, where then Satan takes the seat in the temple. Okay, and there's a period of time of a lot of confusion, a lot of complexity in looking at things and realizing there's so many problems. You know, but in any event, is a seven-year period, and we call to come out. But again, the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, which really is judgment upon the unsaved in the corporate body that is worshiping Satan, that continues for the rest of the 23 years. Then there's another short period of time, which we'll get into at another time. But we can see that the separation. So let's look at this again, because in those days after that tribulation is another period of time when the sun is darkened, the moon is not given a light, the stars shall fall from heaven, heaven shall be shaken. And then, of course, another period of time, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels and a great gathering to his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. So in this picture here, it clearly looks pretty much like that is the rapture. But I think there is another language like that, we'll see if we can't find it, which may suggest that it also is also a picture somewhat of the coming out, you know, gathering together his elect. But that's pretty solid there, though, I think. So let's go back up to Matthew's picture here. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Okay, no one's going to be saved in the church. No need for us to be there. We need to bring the gospel to an unsaved world, continue. You know, a lot of people were thinking that the gospel was being totally silenced to the whole world. And some people that I've heard about recently that used to follow this understanding have come to a certain conclusion that no one can be saved at all, that God has stopped, has no longer saving people. And that I don't believe scriptures in any way can hold, no way at all. I haven't seen it. I've seen some verses that make them think that, but it just doesn't bear weight of the Bible. I'm convinced, you know, the end of the world is tied into the last person being saved, the completeness of God's plan. And when that last person is saved, which will be for a time that God has ordained to happen at that point in time, there is no sense for anything to continue in this world. Then utter destruction comes. So anyway, except those days should be shortened, talking about the Great Tribulation, let's just step back a little bit on 22. We're reading here, and woe unto them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened. Okay, that's for the elect. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Why? Because there's no flesh to be saved. There is no reason to be there. God is not saving in the church no more. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here he is in this church, or here he is in that church, for false Christ, false prophets, and they shall show, have arrived, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it was possible, they would deceive the very elect. It looks pretty good. You know, until you dig down deep into the foundations and understand, and then, of course, they reveal themselves with their cardinal thinking and their private interpretation of scriptures. And behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say, behold, he's in the place where there's no water, in that desert place, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, you know, the minds of men, bringing damnable heresies. Believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So therein kind of suggests right there a depart out that Christ is coming as a thief in the night. So again, it is a little confusion. I'm a little back and forth on those conclusions somewhat, but I think it's pretty solid. Different kind of language here, okay, coming out of the Son of Man than it is down here. Where it says, and then shall he send his messengers or his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Now again, we could look at that from another perspective, because again, you know, we read these verses sometimes and we expect it's like the next minute or the next day this happens, and then the next week or the next day that happens, especially in Revelations when you go through it. Revelation is not written in chronological order. It's very dimensional. It's a picture here and another picture here, another picture there, and you kind of fit this in a very dimensional way to get that whole picture. But again, sending his messengers or his angels, because the word angel is identifying also, could identify with messenger. Well, it is messenger. The word is actually messenger. And when they interpreted this word to angel, they took liberty to do that. But it could have been other things. It could have been God's children, you know, the true prophets, the true teachers of righteousness. So, and then shall God send his messengers, I think might be a better way to look at this in order to get a better appreciation, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds. And this is what's happening right now, and it's been going on for many, many years. In other words, I looked at this is an event, and it's going to just happen in one day or something, you know, when it could be many, many, many years. God is sending his angels, his elect, to collect his elect from the entire world. Come out of her, my people. Come back into the world, releasing them from prison. You know, when Christ came the first time, and it talks about him coming and then, you know, to release, going down into hell, particularly focusing in on the payment for sin at the cross and so on. And it talks about him going down into hell. I don't know the word hell was used. I forget the word that's used, but going down to release those that are imprisoned. But people think that means that they're going down to release people in some place, maybe the Old Testament believers or in hell, or, you know, Catholics talk of a place of purgatory or something of that nature. When in fact the imprisoned, when you really look at this and understand what was going on during when Christ was preaching the gospel and what was happening, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had gotten lost. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you know, and he curses them. We read about that in Matthew 23. I mean, it's just a whole chapter of curses and woes on the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. But when we look into the gospel life of Christ as he's bringing the gospel, it's always upon the poor in spirit, of course, but those who are not connected with the leadership of the church, those who have been imprisoned because they're following these things. And Christ says, follow, you know, do what they say, but don't do what they do, you see? So they're imprisoned by these people, and God freed them, and they came out. Okay, so this has happened so many times, coming out, so to speak, very specifically in the days of Christ, you know, and Christ departed, left, end of Matthew 23, and then leads us into, you know, when is these things be done? What is the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And of course, we're looking at that language here. And we're going to look more at the sign of the end by the time we get to the end of Matthew 24 here. And then we're going to look at some parables in 25, which will fortify our understanding of what we're concluding here. Because the parable of the 10 virgins are extremely powerful. And the language that is used, you know, the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, and they go out and say, you know, trim their lamps, and the unsaved, the 5 foolish say to the 5 wise, give us of your Holy Spirit, because, you know, we haven't, our oil has gone out. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And being lit, the wick, of course, and being lit is identifying ultimately with the light of the gospel going out, and we are the candle holders, you know. And, you know, our light has gone out. Our, you know, we don't have any oil. Share us your oil. No, not so, because you're not going to be satisfied with the gospel we've got for you. Go ye yourself, go to them to buy and sell. Who's buying and selling? You see, the mark of the beast is buying and selling. So this parable that we're going to look at in Matthew 24, 25 when we get to it, and then there's another parable also in 25, you know, it's going to give us really a, it's going to, I think, solidify what we've been looking at in 23 and 24. It's going to really solidify and how we understand the things in Revelation. And, of course, pulling together Mark 13 and Luke 21. Okay, with that, we've come to the end of our program. So, Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.